We are glad to present your speaker, Ray Weddington.
Duties that God has given unto us, and responsibility and duties. One of the most important, one of the most that we should take to our heart and soul is the unity which needs to be within each congregation, within the brotherhood. We see so much division. We see so much separation. We see so much where people want to put their own opinion and their own ideas and their own thoughts before the good of the congregation, before the good of the body of Christ. And it was not always so. We read in the New Testament, during the time the church, right after it was established in the first century, we know that the church then was together. We know that it was close. We know that they cared for one another. And they put one another before their own selves, before their own ideas. There was no selfishness. There was no me and I. It was you. What can I do for you? What can I do to help you? What can I do to help the cause of Christ and the congregation and my brothers and sisters? We need just go back to the second chapter of Acts. After Peter preached that beautiful sermon on the day of Pentecost, when those that were pricked in their heart asked, meaning, what should we do? Peter told them that they were to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. We know those that were added into the church that day. And we read in verse 44 of the second chapter of Acts, "And all they that believed were together, and had all things common. And they sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all, according as any man had need." Do you see the unity? Do you see the togetherness in that? "And they were all together." Together in all things. Not only in the sharing of the common goods that were needed to sustain life and living upon this earth, but they were together and unified in their thought, in their minds, in their own ideas. They knew that what was important for the growth, for sustaining the growth of the church. "They that believed were together and had all things common." If they saw a need, if there was those that had this world's goods, they did not keep them up for themselves. They did not come to those that were in need and needed something and say, "Oh, I'm sorry about your situation. I wish there was something that I could do for you. I feel for you. I can hurt for you." No, they went beyond that. Empty platitudes, words. We all say that at times, and sometimes ashamed, we don't even mean what we say. But we read in verse 45 that they sold their possessions and goods. If they saw a need, if they saw someone that was hurting, someone that needing something, they sold their goods and possessions and they parted them to all as the need arose, according as any man had need. You had a need, it was fulfilled. As in any congregation, it was also true in the first century. There were those who were acted upon their faith in Jesus Christ and believed on Him and were baptized. There were some that were rich. There were some that were poor. And those that were rich helped those who were poor, as the man had need. We're not talking about social welfare here. We're talking about a person who was destitute, they were hungry, they needed clothes. That need was fulfilled. And we read in verse 46, "And day by day, continuing steadfastly with one accord," note the unity which is shown here as well, "day by day, continuing steadfastly," not just half-heartedly, but steadfastly, with zeal and vigor, "with one accord," unity, togetherness, "in the temple and breaking bread at home, they took their food with gladness and singleness of hearts." Even though there was a lot of opposition which was forming at that time to this new growth, this new church, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, these people were unified, they were together in their hearts, in their minds, in their ideas, and in the simple taking of their food to sustain their life and their needs, the Scripture says, they took their food with gladness. They looked upon the simple pleasures of life and the things that were evident in life, and they took that with gladness, with singleness of heart, with purpose and desire. Verse 47, "praising God and having favor with all the people." Praising God. They were united in their thoughts, ideas, aims. Praising God was, of course, a central part of that. And having favor with all the people. the people outside of the church, the people who were looking on at this, why it was popular, why it was something which caught the attention and the idea of the world at that time, was that it was novel. It was unique. People caring for one another. People seeing a need and taking care of that need. People realizing a want and being there to help. We've all, I dare to say, been in situations in life when we needed someone else. Whether it was a physical need or whether it was an emotional need. We may have lost a loved one. We may have having marital problems. We may be having problems with your children. It may be a position at work. Whatever the situation, wasn't it good to have that person come to you, having a friend, having a fellow worker, having a brother, sister in Christ, whomever it was, having someone just to sit down and to talk to be there for you. The church stands for each of us today. We need never feel that we're alone, that we don't have someone to turn to, because we do. And we need to learn that. We need to know that we're here for one another. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all striving towards that same idea, that same goal, that same purpose, united one with another. I want you to know that I'm there for each of you. And each of you can tell me that I'm there for you when you need me. And to one another. And that is the only the right thing and the good thing and the way the Lord would have it to be. And as the people looked on upon this novel idea, as they saw this unity and the love that was expressed, the Scripture says, having favor with all the people liked this. They were inspired by this. It was something new and it was something different. And it caused a reaction among the people. And the Lord added it to them day by day, those that were saved. People realized the truth within this. Why it was unique, why it was different. Because it was not something which was given and thought up by mankind. It was given by the grace of God to mankind. The Lord's kingdom. The Lord's body upon this earth. The church that He died for. With respective brothers and sisters, members within that church. Unified and united, growing together. We just move over a couple of chapters in the books of Acts. We look at the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin. They were commanded not to preach. They stood up boldly and said that they were going to preach, that they would not stop teaching about Jesus Christ. They beat them. They let them go. They went back into the assembled body, told them what had happened. They expressed with joy to the assembled body that they were able to be persecuted for the joy of serving Christ. And they prayed unto Jesus Christ in verse 29 of the fourth chapter. And now, Lord, look upon their threatenings and grant unto thy servants, speak thy word with all boldness, to speak thy word with all boldness, while thou stretchest forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken wherein they were gathered together. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. And not one of them said that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but that they had all things common. Notice the power of the unity which is expressed within these verses. The power which is displayed at that moment in time. As they came together in the face of persecution, they prayed to God for strength that they may be able to speak boldly the things which God had given unto them to speak. And what happened? The building that they were in physically shook. Because they were united in their desire. Because they were united in their faith. We can physically shake mountains and buildings today as well. If we but be united in our goals, our dreams. The bottom line is, we all share the same hope and the same goal. and that's that eternal home in heaven with Jesus Christ. We need to show the same unity which was expressed there in the first century, in the early church, and which Peter wrote about in the third chapter, in verses 8 through 12. Finally, be you all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded. Peter says, be you all like-minded, sharing the same ideas and goals, compassionate, showing compassion one between another. For those within the body of Christ, and compassion as well expressed for those without the body of Christ. Loving as brethren. The brethren within a family, the brothers and sisters in Christ, the brothers and sisters within a earthly family, you know that love that they have for one another. That caring. Sure, you're going to have your arguments. That's only common within any family. But it's still rooted in love and caring and compassion for one another. Likewise, the body of Christ. We need to be rooted in love and compassion and concern for one another as well. Loving as brethren, tender-hearted. We need to have our hearts as such where we hear about a concern that has touched you, that it touches the rest of us as well. If something is bothering you, if there's something that's entered into your life, then it touches us and it makes a difference. And we go out to you and we're there for you. Humble-minded, not puffed up, not thinking of ourselves as something, not better than, well, I'm better than the rest of them. No, we're not. We're all here, each servants for one another. I'm the servant of each one of you, and you of one another. We're here for one another. Not rendering evil for evil, or reviling for reviling. Certainly this is not to be found within the body of Christ. It's not to be found within our dealings one with another. And not to be found with our dealings with our fellow man in our everyday life. We do not render evil for evil, but rather the Scripture tells us we render good for evil. And not reviling for reviling. Not if we are called upon, not if someone tries to get us angry, tries to get us upset, get us into a shouting or arguing match. We're above that, and we need to show it in our lives. But what does Peter say here? But contrariwise, what do we need to show? We need to show blessing. For hereunto were you called, that you should inherit a blessing. We're a special people, those within God's kingdom. We have believed, we have heard His Word, we have believed it, we have acted upon our belief, and we're living a life to inherit that special blessing, that home that God has prepared for us. That is our goal, and we should not let anything sidetrack us from that. And if we're all united, there's so much power that we can have. We can propel one another. If one of us starts to go astray, the rest of us, like a herd, just ushers them back in. Because we're striving towards that goal, and we're striving towards that goal together. In verse 10, Peter says, "For he that would love life and see good days..." Is that our goal? Do we want to love life, love every minute of every day that we're living? Yes. Do we want to see good days? Yes. What's the secret? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, they speak no guile. Shut your mouth. Hush up. Don't speak about your fellow man or about your brother and sister in Christ. Don't spread gossip. Don't spread rumors that you've heard unfounded. Shut up and do your service to Christ. You want to love the days that you have upon this earth. You want to see a good life. You want to be happy. You want to have a contented frame of mind and a good outlook on life. Then get out there and work and shut up talking about other people. And verse 11, let him turn away from evil and do good. If we have the time to do good and service to our fellow man and service to one another and doing our jobs and taking care of our family, we're not going to have any time to do evil. It's only the lax time, the spare time, when Satan intrudes upon us and gets us to do evil. Let us turn away from evil. Let us do good. Let us seek peace and to pursue it. Let us seek peace, unity with one another, and peace with those outside as well. We want to live a life free from madness, from anger, from strife and bitterness. We don't want that even to enter into our lives. We want to seek peace, and we want to pursue it. And that takes effort, but we can achieve it. For verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's a beautiful promise. If we remain faithful and true and united and together and righteous within His sight, we have the assurance that the eyes of the Lord are upon us. And His ears unto their supplication. He will hear our pleas. He will hear our prayers. He will hear our desires, our wants, and our needs. And we have the assurance that He will be there with us. But we also have this as well. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. Just as the eyes of the Lord are upon those that do righteous, the face of the Lord is upon those that do evil as well. He knows what's in our lives. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what we're feeling, where we're acting out of real love and compassion, or just for a sense of duty, or just for show. The Lord knows, and the Lord is judging us. We can do so much together. We have so much promise. We have so much assurance. We have so much which is given unto us. And as Foy said, the blueprint right here of our Christian life. If but we will follow it. And if we follow it together. Put aside our petty concerns, our bickerings. Each individual congregation, get behind the elders. Don't make their life any harder. Make it easier. What can I do for y'all today? And what can I do for each one of y'all today? United. We share the same dreams. We share the same goals, the same ideas. And we're walking that same road. Why don't we walk it together? We can, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have those great blessings which are promised unto us, members of His kingdom. But they're only promised to those within God's kingdom. Wouldn't you like to be recipient of those blessings and promises this morning? You have a unique opportunity to do so. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, won't you use the time this morning to come forward, to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of your sins? Or if you have accepted Christ and have wandered away from the fold of God and have publicly sinned, won't you come forward as well and publicly confess that sin and be restored to your first love?